In just a moment, what we're going to do is celebrate an unusual centenary. The one thing I have noticed about amateur radio enthusiasts over the years is that enthusiast is the most applicable word. They love their amateur radio with a passion. I must confess, I thought that computers and instant messaging, Facebook and Twitter, the whole thing might just have fizzled out, but not so, apparently. Instead, it's undergoing something of a resurgence, especially in the past 5 years. This weekend sees the beginning of 3 days of celebration of 100 years of organised amateur radio, with Australia happy to boast to be the oldest continuing national radio society. David Spicer is president of the Cradle Coast Amateur Radio Club and with me now to explain about their celebrations. David, hello and thank you for coming in to talk to us.
Pleasure.
What is the fascination?
Well, that's probably a little bit hard to explain because it's so different for so many people. My fascination, as far as the hobby is concerned, is the fact that you can repair, build your own equipment, experiment. There's all different types of aspects in that regard. It depends on what you're really interested in.
It's the make and do as well as the communicate.
It is. And the unfortunate part, really, though, is that in this modern day, the manufacturers are starting to take away that privilege, I guess, because of the complexity of the new equipment. And it's so hard to obtain components, and they're too difficult to work on, and that's probably the biggest shame as far as the hobby goes.
So you much prefer where you can get different components to having to worry about sealed units that can't be repaired and so on.
Oh, yes, my word, yes. Most of my radio equipment, I can still do that. It's of the vintage, so to speak, that it still lends itself to be able to be repaired quite easily.
And why do you think the resurgence over the past 5 years or so?
Well, that's been brought about, of course, with the introduction of the foundation licence, an entry-level licence.
Can you explain that?
Well, it came about when it no longer was a requirement to obtain a licence to operate on the HF frequencies using Morse code.
And was it, so it wasn't just a fact of having to buy a licence, you actually had to pass the test?
Oh, my word, yes. I mean, you still do, even for the foundation licence.
So. Uh-huh.
And so how
has that changed then?
They've made it easier. They've made it more appealing, I guess, to the CB-er, because we are far removed from CB, although at times we are classed as CBs, but we certainly are not, and that is just in the type of equipment we use, our massive frequency range, and the output power that we're allowed to use. But it's to encourage CBs who have got a genuine feel, a genuine like to radio and electronics, to be able to get into the hobby of amateur radio.
Excellent. Sounds absolutely fascinating. I do recall when we ran a piece on this programme a few years ago where they did a trial, a sort of test to see who was quicker, Morse code operators or people sending text messages.
Yes.
And the Morse code people, they only just won, but they most certainly did win. What's happening at the Maritime Museum in Devonport for 3 days from this Sunday? What are you going to be doing?
Well, we will be setting up an actual portable station. It'll be manned from 10 to 4 each day. That's the opening hours of the museum. And it's basically to allow public to sort of get a bit of a better idea as to what we are about, to have a look at what we do and how we do it, the type of antennas that we use, because that'll be set up in a portable manner outside. Also, the actual centenary call sign, which is VK100WIA, that's a special call sign that's been given to us by the government, just for that event. That also will be put on air after closing hours by club members who are keen to operate during the night. Some of them can go without sleep better than what I can these days. But yes, it will be on air from time to time till probably in the early hours of the morning.
Well, I'll give those details again in just a moment. But before we leave it this afternoon, does amateur radio, is it now purely for fun, or does it have sometimes an everyday application as well?
Oh, my word, we use it to help certain groups. One in particular, we provide radio communication for some of the horse endurance rides. The last one was at Beaconsfield, an 80k ride. We are also available at all times for any emergency situation that might arise. That was pretty plain with the bushfires in Victoria. Because a lot of the communications was completely out. And with ham radio, this is one of the aspects of ham radio, because we are enthusiasts, we're not trying to blow our trumpet, but we know what we're doing and we can do it quickly, regardless of basically where it is, because most of us have got good portable stations and we can set up very, very quickly in any given time. So
it's going to be absolutely fascinating. You might even pick up some new recruits this weekend.
Well, we hope to.
I'll give some details again, and thank you for coming in to explain all that this afternoon. I've learned a great deal.
That's no problems at all.
Thank
you.
David Spicer, who is president of the Cradle Coast Amateur Radio Club, and just been explaining their centenary celebrations over the weekend. All you need to do Sunday, Monday and Tuesday is make your way between 10 and 4 to the Devonport Maritime Museum, and you'll find that on Gloucester Avenue in Devonport. Have a look at what they're doing, learn about who they are, maybe even decide to learn Morse code and join the society. Very happy 100th birthday.